Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. And welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I'll be your host tonight. I'm Mori Isha Israel from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you nothing but the truth. Give all praises and honor and glory unto the mighty Yah by saying hallelujah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. We're going to teach on a beautiful topic tonight. Before we do, I'd like to say shalom to everyone listening and watching in our internet audience. For we know the only reason that you are listening to us is because of your great fear towards Most High. And we're going to speak about Yah's truth. And who is Yahweh? Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, and the only king, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is an Elohim of knowledge. And our people have truly been destroyed for lack of knowledge. This week, we've been able to be blessed with the teachings from our Moray Ishaya, teaching the true word about Yahweh's years. Now, I know this topic can be controversial and also mysterious because many people have no clue about Yah's years. But Yahweh is not a make-believe Elohim. He is not a false deity, and he is not a superhero from the comic books. Yahweh is the true and living Elohim. And Yah has the superior knowledge above everyone. Therefore, we have to look at his knowledge. We have to find out his wisdom so we know the Creator. And let's see what the Most High has to say about his knowledge. If you go to the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, in Jeremiah chapter 10, we're going to start reading. We could begin in the 6th verse, where it says, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Yah, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee." Excuse me. I was a little parched. Excuse me for a second. But yes, it said in verse 6, "For there is none like unto thee, O Yah. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might." And we're going to speak about Yah's name tonight. But furthermore, 8 it says, "But they are altogether brutish and foolish, the stock is a doctrine of vanity. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is in their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But Yahweh is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim and an everlasting king. At his wrath shall the earth tremble, and nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. So you see, the Almighty is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim, an everlasting king. And his name is great. And we're going to talk about Yah's name because it's important. One of the most important things you'll ever hear in your life. Also, go with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 68. We'll start reading in the first verse, where it says, "Let Elohim arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of Elohim. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before Elohim. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto Elohim, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him." Hallelujah. Well, Yah's name is something to behold. Yah is the Elohim of knowledge. Yah is a true and living Elohim. Yah's name is great. And why is the name of Yah so important? Well, let me show you something. Go to the book of Exodus. The 20th chapter. We're going to start reading Third Commandment. Verse 7, where it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain. Will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." This is a commandment. I know that many people tell you that the law cannot be kept in captivity, that you cannot keep Yah's laws in this land. They say that we're not under the covenant in the land. Well, they're just lying, or they don't know. Yah said that we must do his word everywhere. And the commandments of Yah are vital to your survival. And the Ten Commandments are a covenant. The Ten Commandments is one complete covenant. So that means if you break one commandment of the mighty Elohim from the Ten Commandments, you've broken the entire covenant. That doesn't mean you murdered. It just means you broke the entire covenant, because the covenant was given to us as one complete covenant. Therefore, knowing of taking Yah's name in vain is very important. Thou shalt not take Yah's name in vain. And we must understand how not to take Yah's name in vain so we don't risk breaking Yahweh's covenant, which we have been doing for ages now. So, before I go any further, let me also share with everyone. Of course, next weekend, in Yah's word, is like the fifth day, the sixth day, the Sabbath day. Not the sixth day, the Sabbath day, and the first day. I know people commonly think that Sunday is the weekend and call Sunday the weekend, but Sunday is the first day of the week. It cannot be the weekend. So next weekend will be in Marietta, Georgia, the House of Israel, about to engage in our 25th annual spring conference. This conference is called the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference. And this conference is being held in Georgia on March 15th through the 18th, where it all began. No, it didn't begin in Marietta, but it began in Atlanta, Red Top Mountain, back in 1994. That was the first conference, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference. I was 13 years old. I didn't even know nothing about this thing. But my elders, my teacher, my first teacher, the man that taught me the word of the Most High directly, my teacher and my friend and a mentor and my elder, Morey Elisha, he started this conference. He is the founder of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference. He founded this conference along with his fellow teachers that he raised up and taught himself, just like he taught me. He taught these brothers, Morey Elisha, who is our senior Morey here at the House of Israel, Cincinnati, elder and senior Morey. He founded this conference with him, with Morey Yehoshua, who is the Morey down in various places, and Morey Herman Taylor. Now, Morey Herman Taylor and Morey Elisha passed away. But he began the conference with these brothers back in 1994. And the conference was called, and is called still, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High. And why? Because Morey Elisha had traveled throughout the land of his captivity. He visited congregation upon congregation. And don't get it mistaken. When Morey Elisha began this conference, he had already been a bona fide, certified servant of the Most High. He had already been teaching the word of Yah for over 20 years by the time the Most High gave him this vision to start this conference. And he had traveled throughout the country and has been around the world. But he went and traveled throughout all the country to find Israelites and to teach Israelites and to meet with leaders. And what he found was that everybody was teaching something different. Everybody, everywhere he went, was teaching something different. When Moray Isaiah and his brother Moray Yehoshua began teaching in Atlanta, because they were the ones that founded the House of Israel of Atlanta. When they began teaching in Atlanta, they found that everybody was teaching something different. And they knew, these great visionaries that the Most High gave vision to, that something had to be done about this. And that is when the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High was born in 1994 on the Even Calendar. And this conference, first conference, took place in Georgia. And the first thing that was dealt with was Passover. It was something that many people were keeping out of order. And after that conference, the second conference that was held, that conference was dealing with the name of Yah. And then, years later, 10 years later, and in the 11th year of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference in the year 2004, which would be the 11th conference year, Moray Elisha had another vision. And in this vision, he knew that we had to go to the capital of Babylon, or as you know, the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., and we had to proclaim the name of Yah. And that we were his chosen people, Yisrael. And Yisrael also is Yah's name. He said he gave us his name, Yisrael. And in doing so, it was in the 11th year of our conference, which was my first conference. And now, in the year 2018, we're going back to Georgia, and we're going to deal with the name of Yah in our 25th conference year. Now, why have I explained these things? Well, because everything Yah does has purpose. And this is how you know you're dealing with Yahweh's servants or not. And this is also very important to knowing how to understand how to not take Yah's name in vain. Now go to the book of Ecclesiastes and look in chapter 3. And verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the Shemayim, the heaven. So take note that the second conference year, the Almighty had our Elder Moray's deal with Yah's name. That's in the second. In the 11th conference year, the Almighty had Maury Elisha gather us together to proclaim and praise Yah's name and that we are his people. And now, in the 25th year, the Almighty is bringing us to Georgia to have a conference, and all of our topics are about Yah's name. How do you take Yah's name in vain? What is Yah's name? And how will Yahweh reveal his name? Now, why is it important that I tell you about these times? Take note. In the second year of our conference year, we dealt with Yah's name. Well, in Yah's order, which is the order of two, it represents Yahweh's name. Okay? Now, in the 11th year, which is the fourth year, or the order of four, we proclaimed Yah's name. Yet, the conference happened in the year 2004, which would have been the second year in Yah's Sabbath of years. And the second represents Yah's name. Take note. In the 25th year, which is coming up, which this is what this will come to be, and going into our new year that will come up right after the conference, we're dealing with Yah's name. So what's the pattern? The pattern is simple. In the order of two is Yah's name. In the order of four, it's Yah's praises. This is why these two things are always meeting. Because in order to praise the Most High, you must praise his name. And in order to not take his name in vain, you must know how to not praise a false name. Now, only Yahweh's true servants is going to bring his word to you in this manner. Go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 42. And we're going to begin reading verse 5. It says, Thus saith Elohim, Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh, giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, in them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. I am Yah. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Therefore, Yah found it proper to to raise his servant. Store the sacred laws of the Most High, and he found it proper to make sure we deal with Yah's name. Because Yah's name is righteous. And Yah's name is also this, in the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. In Exodus 34, here we are. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, and we're going to start reading around verse 14. It says here, "For thou shalt worship no other Elohim, for Yahweh, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous Elohim." That means his name is fiery, zealous, a consuming fire. That's what Yah's name is. A consuming fire. And if you worship another deity and try to say this deity is Yah, he's a consuming fire. So Yah wants you to be sure you don't take his name vain. He sent his servants to teach us his word and his name. Now, back in 2004, we went to the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., to proclaim the name of Yah. Now, back then, not I, nor More Elisha, nor More Ishaya, nor any other teacher that was there knew the order of Yah as we teach it today. This was not revealed to us at that time. Yet Yah still had us go in the year 2004, which on Yah's Sabbath of years would have been the second year, to proclaim his name. Now, how do I know the order to represents Yah's name? Very simple scripture to show you here. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, we'll read verse 25, where it states, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim has said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And Seth, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of Yah in the second generation after Adam. They began to call on the name Yah." Go to the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter. And what we'll read here in the first verse: "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, over Yisrael in the month Zif, which is the second month that he began to build the house of Yah. Now, why is this significant? Well, it's significant because the 480th year out of Egypt was not only the fourth year of Solomon's reign, which means it was in the order of four, which means it represents Yah's praises, but it also was the fourth year of Yah's Sabbath of years. Solomon began building the house of Yah in the second month. Now, why is that significant? Because if you go to the book of 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, and we'll begin reading verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and Yah had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of Elohim dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said unto the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for Yah is with you. And it came to pass that night that the word of Yah came to Nathan, saying, Go tell my servant David, thus saith Yah, Thou shalt not build, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in the tent, in the tabernacle, in the places wherein I have walked, with all the children of Israel spake I a word, if any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith Yah of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. And I want to expedite, so let's get to the meat of it. In verse 12 it says, or verse, well, I guess I'll just keep reading it. In verse 9, And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And that since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also Yah telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy day be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Solomon is the one that Yah is talking about. And Solomon is the one that started building Yah's house. And Yah said it will be this son that will build a house for Yahweh's name. And when did Solomon begin building this house? He began building this house in the second month, the order of two. This is the representation of Yah's name. So it is very important that we understand Yah's order and Yah's years, because there's a time to every purpose under heaven. And the time for Yah's name is always in the order of two. And the time for Yah's name to be praised is in the order of four. And in 2004, which was the second year of Yah's Sabbath of years, in the fourth year of Yah's order, which was actually the order of four, in the 11th year of our conference, we went to the capital of D.C., of Washington, of the United States, to praise Yah's name, to proclaim Yah's name, and that we were his people, Israel. Did we know? Did we set that up? Did we know to do it in that manner? No. But that is what Yahweh put in his servants to do. Proclaim his name in his time. Now, in this upcoming conference, it's the 25th year, which is the order of four. And what am I saying? Oh, the order of four. As Moray Ishaya taught this week, Yah only has 7 years. He only has 7 days. He's only sanctified 7 weeks. He only sanctified 7 months. Therefore, seven, which is Shabbat in Hebrew, which means complete, represents completion, represents finalization, means it is over, means it is completed, and you now rest. And what chapter did we just read about Yah telling David about his house? The seventh chapter. When David had rest from his enemies. The seventh is a rest period. And then after rest, you wake up, you start it again. So the seven orders is all that there is. There's no eighth order, there's no order of nine, there's no order of 56. There's only seven orders. And if you can understand Yah has 7 days, you can understand Yah has seven orders. And the 11th year of our conference was in the order of four. And so therefore, the 12th year was the order of five. The 13th year was the order of six. The 14th year was the order of seven. The 15th year, of course, was the order of one. The 16th year was the order of two. The 17th year was the order of three. The 18th year was the order of four. The 19th year was the order of five. 20th year was the order of six. The 21st year was the order of seven. The 22nd year was the order of one. The 23rd year was the order of two. Last year, the 24th year, was the order of three of our conference. And this coming year is the order of four, 25th. And the fourth represents Yah's praises. How do I know that? Go to the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter. I know people are teaching diverse things when it comes to this topic. As a matter of fact, no one is teaching this topic. I have heard this topic taught other than the house of Israel. I haven't heard it. Not to toot any horns or big up anybody, but what I'm trying to say is, this teaching of Yah's order, Yah's years, this is very important to understanding Yah's law and Yah's ways. And if you're going to do what Yah said, which is forsake your ways and walk in all of his ways, then we must know Yah's order. Now, in Genesis 29, we're going to start reading at verse 35. I'll start at verse 32. And it says, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. And what does Reuben mean? It says, for she said, surely Yah has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And what does this scene have to do with the first son? Well, the order of one, brothers and sisters, deals with light. The first year, the first day, the first time is always indicative of light. What was made on the first day? Light. How can you see? Light. The eye is an instrument that Yah made for the sole purpose to capture light. You cannot see without light. Therefore, Leah naming her son Reuben, and incidentally, the way you pronounce Reuben in Hebrew is Reuben, and you hear the word ray. And what do they call light beams? They call them light rays. Radiance. Radiation. It all comes from light. And she said, Yah has seen me, seen my affliction. First order. Leah conceived, verse 33, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, because Yah hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Shimeon, or you may know it as Simeon. And what does Shimeon or Simeon mean? It means to hear. And why is that indicative of the order of two? Because you're supposed to hear Yah's name from heaven. He hears you from heaven. The heaven, the word heaven, Shemayim, its root is Shema, which means to hear. And Yah's name is all about hearing. Why do you think Yahweh wants you to hear his name? Because when you hear Yah's name, you should pay attention. He gave you a name. A name is always connected with hearing. That's why we call you by your name. That's why you have two ears. You don't have two ears for some random reason. You have two ears because you hear in the order of two. And you hear Yah's name. And Yah hears you call his name. And she knew this. Verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi or Levi. And that's what Levi means, to be joined. And who does the joining in Israel? Who bonds you in the covenant? Levi. Who bonds you in the covenant of your marriage? Levi. Who bonds you with your covenant with the Almighty? Levi. How do you get joined unto the Most High? You got to go to Levi. If you want to hear a teaching from Yah, so you can be joined to Yah, so you can learn how to continue to be married to Yah and keep your marriage right with Yah, then you got to go to Levi, his priest, and they join us to the Most High. This is the order of three. What did Yahweh make on the third day? The earth. That's when he joined all the land into one place and joined all the waters together and called them seas. That's when he made the herbs after their kind. They were joined after their kind. The fruit trees were joined after their kind. This is when the joining occurred, when the bonding create was taking place on the third day, in the third order, with the third time. Why do you think you pay your tithes in the order of three? Because this joins you to the Most High. For me, this seems real simple, but you might not have heard this before. But it's the word of Yah. This is what Yahweh has said. Verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise Yah. Therefore she called his name Yehuda. And what is the order of four? Yah's praises. What do you do in the order of four? Praise Yah. Who did Yahweh raise up to give him his praises? A Yehudanite named David. Who did Yahweh raise up to build his house so people can praise his name in? A Yehudanite named Solomon. The order of four is for Yah's praises. Go to the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter. And you'll start reading in verse 12, where it says, and Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalaleel. Now, what is so significant about this? Mahalaleel, his name, and he is the fourth born after the fourth generation after Adam. And his name means praises of Elohim. What? Yahweh created a child in the times of ancient named Mahalaleel before there was an Israelite? And he had his name mean the praises of Elohim? And when Yahweh decided to create 12 sons, the fourth child, his name was Yehuda, which means the praises of Yah, or Yah's praises, or praises, period. Well, brothers and sisters, this is rocket science no more. This is simple mathematics. The order of four represents Yah's praises. And sometimes you need a third witness. That's why Yah said, at the mouth of two witnesses or three, you can establish a matter. All you need is two, but you can use three if you need to go to extra distance. And let's go to extra distance. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, I'm going to read the 19th chapter of Leviticus, starting at the 23rd verse, to show you what the order of four, what the fourth year, what the fourth time, what this four represents. It says in verse 23, and when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But, verse 24, but in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah with all. Fourth year, the fruit is holy to praise Yah. In the fourth time, the fourth born, his name represented praises. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign, he built Yah's house for Yah's praises. Go to the book of Isaiah 56. In Isaiah 56, We'll start reading at verse 6. It reads, "Also, the sons of the stranger that joined themselves unto Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yah, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon the altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." Yah's house is a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer for Israel. And when we return and Yahweh sets the record straight, it'll be a house of prayer for everybody. Now, what we have discovered is that the fourth represents Yah's praises. The second represents Yah's name. And do you know what year we'll be going into out of Yah's Sabbath of years when we begin holding our conferences that are coming up? We're going into the second year, which represents Yah's name. We, meaning me, More Yeshaya, More Naphtali, More Yehoshua, More Yosef, we not make this up. We did not write the scriptures. We did not come up with this ourselves. The word of Yah. The order of two represents Yah's name. In the second year, in the order of four of all our conference years, we'll be dealing with Yah's name. And we're going to praise his name. That's what this 25th year of our conferences is about. Praising Yah's name. And we better praise the right name, the right way. That's why it's imperative that we know, how does one take Yah's name in vain? Isn't it just a perfect time to learn about that? In the second year. And I'll show you a little bit of how you take Yah's name in vain. You don't want to have your second year started off by breaking the very thing that the year represents. And let me show you how we take Yah's name in vain. And we do this like it's nothing. Go to the book of Ezekiel. The third chapter. In Ezekiel chapter 3. Or we'll read in Ezekiel chapter 2. That sounds like it's fitting. In Ezekiel chapter 2, it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet," verse 1, "and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and hard and stiff-hearted. I do send thee to them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim. And they, whether they will hear, whether they will shema, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, For they are rebellious children, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now, why is it that Yahweh told Ezekiel to go tell them, thus saith Yah? And then followed up with saying, whether they'll hear or forbear. When you hear, thus saith Yah, you really should listen. But Yah said, they won't listen, for they are a rebellious house. Look what he says here in chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 3, it says, no, verse 4. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee to the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art sent to a people, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Meaning he was telling Ezekiel, you're not going to any foreigners whose language you don't understand and they don't understand you. You don't understand and they don't understand yours. You're going to your people, the house of Israel. That is why Yah said he will raise up among the children of Israel, among their brethren, a prophet to go speak to them. So you don't have no excuse like, I didn't understand them. See, I can come talk to you guys like a black man. Black man to black man, black man to black woman. Black man, black person to black person. I can come talk to you like family because we experience the same things. We live the same things. We have the same mannerisms. We talk the same way. It's not hard for you to understand me. And Yah said he's not sending you to a people that you're not going to be able to understand and they don't understand you. He said not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose word thou cannot understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto you. Now, isn't that something? Even if you go to a foreign nation, Ezekiel, they would listen to you if you said, thus saith Yah. If you said the words that should grab everybody's attention. I was at a facility a few days ago. It was not a facility filled with Israelites. It was a facility filled with Japhethites. And they came over a loudspeaker and they said, attention. And all the Japhethites stopped and listened. And me and the other Israelites kept moving. Why? Because Yah said we don't listen. But I found it very interesting that all the Japhethites paid attention. I said, my goodness, Yahweh ain't never lie. If you go to a whole nother nation and you say attention, attention in Yah's words is, thus saith Yah. That should get everybody's attention. Because when you say, thus saith Yah, what you're saying is, listen to life. Because Yahweh is the fountain of living waters. Now, if you're alive, why in the heck don't you want to hear what life has to say? The very giver of life, the very source of life, the very power of life, the very creator of life, the very one that allows your life be, has spoken, and you don't want to listen. Yah said, for thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. He said, if it was sent to these strange people of hard language whose words you can't understand, they would have hearkened. But the house unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard hearted. And brothers and sisters, don't you understand that Yah has sent his servants in his name? That's what he's done.
Look what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, it says, or verse 17, it says, "And Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak all unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, we shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other Elohim, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh have not spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of Yah, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Yahweh has sent prophets to speak in his name. Yahweh has not sent prophets to lie in his name, though many people are lying, using the name of Yah, which means there's a lot of dead people walking, which also shows you that Yah's name can be taken in vain or hearken to his servant. And if you want to know who Yah's servant is, you have to follow that rule. Did he speak in Yah's name? Did he speak Yah's words? Did they come to pass? This isn't about fortune telling. It's not just about what's going to happen at 9:58 p.m. This is the word that he is speaking verifiable through the word of Yah. And let me tell you, word of Yah's servant is verifiable. Verifiable everywhere. In the name of Yah can be taken in vain if you do not listen to his servant. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, and a lot of people have been taught, and a lot of people have heard that Yahweh don't have prophets. I see a lot of people talk about Yah's prophets haven't returned. Nevertheless, obviously, don't know the word of Yah. But Yah has prophets everywhere. He has his prophets speaking his word all the time. Yahweh has prophets in Israel today. Not the land necessarily, but among his people in Israel. He has prophets. And they come to you in his name. If you don't hearken to his prophets, you could take his name in vain. Let me show you one of the prophets Yah has in Israel today. Go to the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, we'll start reading in verse chapter 45. I know you thought I was going to go to the book of Elisha or something, but no. I'm going to a prophet Yah has in your midst today. Though his prophet is not alive, his book is here. The words that Yahweh told him to write, the words that Yahweh told him to speak are right here. And not to say that there's no living prophets, because there are. But I'm just showing you a prophet that Yah has right here before you today. In Isaiah 45, you can start reading at verse 15. It says, "Verily thou art an Elohim that hideth thyself, O Elohim of Israel, the Savior. And that is the truth. Yahweh hideth himself. It's not that Yahweh puts on his robe and hides in the corner like the Wizard of Oz. Yahweh, he's the creator of light. And just like the little scientists can use little machines to pick up frequencies of light that we can't see with the naked eye, Yahweh created the light that you can't see with the naked eye. This frequency is a light that you can't figure out right now. And Yahweh hideth himself amongst this light. He covered himself. He knows how to do it better than anybody. But he will show you his light if you are found of him. But it is a true fact that he hides himself. So you are founded of Yah. You just found something amazing. And the only way you're going to find Yah is what it says here in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And this, what I'm showing you, is to show the reason why the second year is so significant. Not only in the second year are we going to be dealing with Yah's name in all our conferences, but we're going to be dealing with Yah's praises because it's our 25th conference year, which is the order four. And we don't want to take Yah's name in vain. And see, this is why you have to know your years, your days, your weeks, your time. Because every order, every day, every time, every year, indicative of the word of Yah. It represents something very important with Yah's word. And Yah's word is your life. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, if you start reading at verse 26, showing you the only way you're going to find Yahweh. And verse 26 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereinto you go to possess over the Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but you shall utterly be destroyed. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations. Ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither Yahweh shall lead you. And there you shall serve the work of men's hands. Elohim, the work of men's hands. Wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Now, isn't this what happened? Who's speaking this? Moses. Who told him to say this? Yah. What was Moses? A servant, a prophet. What did he say came to pass? Yes, it did. It's verified. Isaiah said, Yahweh hideth himself. Are we restoring the word of Yah today? Is that the mission of this conference, to restore the word of Yah? Yes, it is. Why? Because he hides himself. Are people not lost today? Yes, they say, I feel lost. Why? Because Yah hides himself. So how do you find him? Verse 29. But if from thence, where is thence your captivity, the place where you've been led to serve other deities, the work of men's hands, a crucifix, a cross, a dead statue on two sticks, it's the work of man's hands. Why in the world would Yah, in the meaning of Yah's name is life? Why in the world would the life giver, the life originator, the life creator, the life sustainer want you to wear a work of man's hands that represents death? That just don't make sense. Why in the world would the Most High want you to go throw rocks at a bigger rock where it's supposed to be the corpses of dead men under it? That just don't make sense. Why in the world would the life giver, the fountain of living waters, want you to go to a basilica in Rome that is supposed to be built over the grave of a dead man and worship there? Yeah, none of that makes sense. Yahweh said, you will be in this place where you will serve other deities, the work of men's hands. And that stuff surely is the work of man's hand. Wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And that is where we are today. But if from thence, yes, he said, if from that place where you are at, which is where you're serving these false gods, if from thence you shall seek Yah, your Elohim. Oh, now you got to look. Now you got to hope that them eyes and them ears Yahweh gave you start working on another level so you can find the Most High. Now you got to look for Yah. You got to seek him. And how you going to seek him? Well, you got to humble yourself. That's what we have to do. We have to humble ourselves. That is the main thing we have to do. You can't seek Yah and you on the top of the mountain and you think that you are the creator of everything. You got to humble yourself. He said you got to seek Yah, your power. Thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if thou turn to Yah thy Elohim and shall be obedient unto his voice. And what voice is he going to give you to listen to? His servant. And you're going to have to hear his servant. And you're going to have to humble yourself. And you're going to have to listen to his voice. And the voice of Yah is the word of Yah. And whoever he sent to speak his word, voice of the Most High. And you have to hearken to him. Now, how do I know? You got to humble yourself to do this. Which means the second year, the second time, the order two can't just be about, oh, his name, but you got to humble yourself in order to hear this name, to know this name. Where was I taking you? Go to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, fourth chapter. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, and he needed to know about it. And it troubled him. Daniel let him know in verse 24 what to do. He said, this is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my master, the king, that they shall drive thee from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas thou they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have not have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He told him, he said, look, if you want tranquility to continue, you got to humble yourself. Stop sinning and do righteousness and be kind to the poor. Don't make another graven image of yourself. Don't stand up at the top of your castle and say, I did all this. Go with lowly. Go where the poor are at. And go and be merciful to them. Did Nebuchadnezzar listen? No. Nebuchadnezzar went and declared that all the things that he got came by his power and his might, and he had this prophecy fulfilled upon him. He crawled around like a beast. His man's heart was taken, and a beast's heart was given unto him. So you have to humble yourself. Again, go to the book of the Second Chronicles. Just showing you, in order to know Yah's name, in order to not take Yah's name in vain, in order to be able to conduct yourself properly in the second year, in the second time, in order to praise Yah's name in its 25th year, which is the order of four in this conference season that we're entering into, to restore the sacred laws of the Most High, we need to humble ourselves before anything. Because this is how we're going to get the most richest praises of Yah's name. This is how we're going to get the most richest wealth from knowing Yah's name and learning about Yah's name. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It reads, if my people, which are called by my name's not Yahweh. What name is he talking about? He's talking about Yisrael. Yisrael is Yah's name. How do you know that? He just said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And what? Humble themselves. And pray. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You gotta humble yourself. Get low. There ain't nothing shaking except what Yah's shaking. There ain't nothing moving where Yah's moving. There's no power beside Yah. You don't have the power, I don't have the power. We don't have the power unless we get the power from the Most High. So your job ain't the power, your boss ain't the power, your house ain't the power. None of that is the power. Only the name and the being who is Yah is the power. So therefore, what do we got to do? Humble ourselves to the greatest and only power. And then you'll be able to get the great beauties that come with knowing Yahweh, that come with knowing how important the second year is, that come with knowing how important the order of four is. Because where you see the second, you're going to see the fourth. Yah has destined the second and the fourth to be joined from the beginning of time. How do I know that? That's the last thing I'm going to show you. Genesis, the first chapter, 8, it reads, verse 6, it reads, "And Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters from the waters, which were under the firmament, waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day." Now that heaven was made on the second day, but the heaven was not completed. Everything else Yah made on all the other days were completed. That's why he said it was good. That's what good means, to be complete. That's why the Most High says, "Shall not say and make it good." That means make it complete. He ain't just going to say something and it don't happen. Now it's incomplete. So the heavens weren't completed. But if you go to verse 14, you'll see it says, "And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night. Let them be for signs, seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night. And Elohim caused them to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And in the evening, and it came to be morning, were the fourth day." The heavens were good now, because on the fourth day, the lights are in the heavens. And the heavens ain't complete without the lights. And now the fourth and the second were Yah's praises. How you gonna praise Yah on earth if you don't know the signs, the seasons, the days, and the years? You gotta know the right time to praise Yah, the right time to lift up his name, the right time to sanctify his name. That's why the second and the fourth are always together. And as I've shown you, these conferences that the Most High put on Yah's servants, they are surely sent by the revelation of Yahweh. And I hope that you have made your reservation and that we will see you next week in Marietta to celebrate, to magnify, to glorify, to praise the Most High in the second time and in the fourth time. Hallelujah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.